Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
This is Kilo Delta Zero Charlie Delta Quebec, about to start the SCARS Extra Class. The SCARS Extra Class here on the air in a few moments. I will read the preamble and we'll get underway. Welcome to the outreach program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and to further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. This will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for an extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and at 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Sunday evening. This is the last Sunday evening of the sessions. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS, that's S-C-A-R-S, server at either Echolink node number 96140 or IRLP node 9614, letting it drop. For those that are interested, please contact myself, Mike, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner to which you will be connected into the course. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at VOIP at voipnet.southcars.com. It should be mentioned, this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email where at VOIP at voipnet.southcars.com, letting it drop. This session will be recorded and posted on our website at www.voipsouthcars.com. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during the classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our sessions. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? Okay, this evening we're going to have an illustrious duo of instructors. We will have Kathy, K6SUN, and Gordon, KY6V, KY6Victor. Both of them will be instructing tonight. The basic program will stay the same. They'll read a question, they'll go over the answer, and then they will ask if anyone has any questions or comments, and they'll open up the airwaves so you can come on with any question you might have. And please don't hesitate. If you have questions, come aboard with them. We want the questions. We want to have a mix here, back and forth, so don't hesitate on that. This is the last Sunday of our, oh boy, a bunch of weeks, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, what do I know? This is about the 13th session, probably, just glancing at it here. So we'll get underway. Let me give a look. I should know who's starting with the first question. The first question will be by Kathy. Kathy will give us the first question tonight. So K6SUN, take it away.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. And just for your information, and maybe George, anyone listening, today is my last day of summer vacation. I return to school tomorrow along with the children. So we'll begin our class tonight. And once again, I want to welcome everyone to our final Sunday. We have two more classes, a Sunday and Tuesday. But I begin the question this evening. And my question is E9 Bravo 01, and it reads, in the antenna radiation pattern shown in figure E9-1, what is the 3 dB beam width? And we have choices of 75, 50, 25, 30. They're all degrees. The correct answer is actually Bravo, and that is 50 degrees. And once again, we encourage you not to memorize that alpha designator, but the answer for that is 50 degrees. So on this drawing, simply follow the curve of the far right portion of the signal to the 3 dB lines. Select the number of degrees from the upper to the lower 3D points. So with that, that's my first question. Are there any comments or any questions before I throw it over to Gordon? All right, that's super. KY6D, your next question is Echo 9 Bravo 07, I believe.
Thank you, Miss Sunshine. You must have the same script I do. That's correct. Echo 9 Bravo 07. Good evening, everybody. And Mike, this is the number 11th class of a 12 class course. So that means when we finish tonight and wrap it up on Tuesday evening, we will be at the finish line. And the gold is waiting just on the other side of the finish line for each of you. So grab it and run with it. Echo 9 Bravo 07 is my first question of the evening, and it reads, how does the total amount of radiation emitted by a directional gain antenna compare with the total amount of radiation emitted from an isotropic antenna? Now that's assuming each is driven by the same amount of power. Okay, I'm not going to read all of these answers that they've given you. The correct answer is C as in Charlie, and that reads they are the same. Remember, on these alphas, please don't memorize them because they'll change when you get to your actual exam. Now, an isotropic antenna, guys and gals, is an ideal antenna that radiates its power uniformly in all directions. And there's no such thing as an actual physical isotropic antenna. It's all on the drawing board, if you will. However, an isotropic antenna is often used as a reference antenna for the antenna gain. And the antenna gain is often specified in dBi, decibels above an isotropic, dBi or decibels over an isotropic. Any questions out there for me this evening? KY6V and Southcars. Okay. Ms. Kathy, you know your number. I know your number. You tell the students what number you're going to use. KY6V, over.
Okay, I sure will tell them my number and actually the answer and an explanation as well. So, my number is Echo 9 Bravo 15. And it reads, what is the front-to-back ratio of the radiation pattern shown in figure E9-2? And we have those dB answers. We have anywhere from 15, 28, 3, or 24. But the correct answer, once again, is Bravo for my choice here. It's 28 dB. So looking at this plot, it's a little iffy to pinpoint the answer. The answer, however, comes closer to being the correct choice. The other possible choices are not even close. So with that, I'll throw it out there for anyone listening who may have any comments or any questions before I throw it over to my partner this evening. Well, that's just great news. No comments, no questions. Gordon, I will say the same to you. You tell the class your number and read your question and answer and explanation. And thanks for being my partner this evening. KY6V, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Sounds like we're setting a precedence here with the numbers, huh? Question numbers, that is. Okay, guys and gals, Echo 9, Charlie 04. Echo 9, Charlie 04 reads, what happens to the radiation pattern of an unterminated long wire antenna as the wire length is increased? The proper answer to this one is B as in Bravo. The lobes align more in the direction of the wire. This is one of my favorite antennas. I've used them through the years and had some great results with them, and the longer the better. So this is a good question to understand and remember. The more half waves or full waves you have at your operating frequency, the more gain will be focused towards the end of the wire. Now, if you have a nice long wire, I mean long, you know, you're going to be dynamite in that one direction and sort of dropping off around the sides and the back. So keep that in mind. Any questions, please? KY6V, South Cars.
This is CDQ. That's always good to know. Like, I'm using a G5RV with that 102 feet long, something like that, and I've got it pointed towards the northeast, and I pick up a lot of New England up that way. And sometimes a little foggy with towards Georgia or Florida, but it's really good up in New England way. That's all I've got. KD0CDQ.
Yeah, okay. Well, what we're really talking about here, Mike, is a long wire that's N-fed. You're running a G5RV center-fed, and the pattern off of that is off the sides, very similar to a dipole pattern. So, you know, for the area that you want to be broadside in that direction. Okay, Kathy, you're up at bat. KY6V, please.
Question.
All right, I'll grab it before Kathy does. I think that was you, Fred. Go ahead, sir.
You're right. This is K2HA. Okay, so the question is an undetermined length wire. So, from your experience, are we talking about, you know, multiples of a particular wavelength or just any long wire you have hanging out there?
No, we're talking about multiples of half waves or full waves. But, you know, let's talk about half waves. Kathy was yelling at me about somebody keyed up. I'm keyed up here. Okay, I don't know if I was doubling. At any rate, what we're talking about is half wavelengths or greater. You know, it could be full wavelengths at the operating frequency that you want to use, Fred. So you can use any random wire, but to get more gain and more directivity, you would have to calculate how many half waves you've got on the antenna, and the more the better. These antennas are normally N-fed, and of course you need to use an LC network for tuning and so on and so forth. Does that make sense to you, Fred? Over.
Fred, this is N2CHI. The question said unterminated, not undetermined. Yeah, you're right. It does say that. This is Fred, K2HA.
I didn't catch that Fred had said that. Thanks, Dave. Okay, you got a picture on it. We okay to continue here, Fred, or you want to talk more about it? Over.
We're fine. I'm just playing with all kinds of configurations right now, and that's one possibility. Okay, this is K2HA.
Very good, sir. Okay, Kathy, you're up. KY6V to K6SUN.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And actually, Gordon, Fred was keyed up. I heard you talking because you're only 10 feet away from me, but Fred was talking. And before Fred had his question, I was doubling with everyone. So, but interesting comment, Fred, and good evening to you. My question is Echo 9, Charlie 06. And it reads, what is the effect of a terminating resistor on a rhombic antenna? And I'm not going to go through all your choices. The right answer is Bravo. Again, it looks like, Gordon, all my answers are Bravo tonight. It changes the radiation pattern from bidirectional to unidirectional. And once again, it changes the radiation pattern from bidirectional to unidirectional. You know, this question is correct as presented. However, when you have a rhombic antenna that is 1,200 feet on a side, it is hard to rotate. There would be times that you might want a bi-directional option available to you. So with that, do we have any questions or any comments before I throw it over to my partner? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for any comments or questions. All right, hearing nothing, Gordon, the next question is yours. And I'm going to give you the right, or the question. It's an E9 Charlie 12.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Back on the rhombic, guys, that's a big antenna, but boy, it really works. And I've seen some of the guys actually run zip cord out to the end of the rhombic and put a relay out there where they could switch that resistor in and out comfortably from the shack in order to get bidirectional or unidirectional depending on what they needed at the moment. Okay, let me recharge the batteries. We'll start with Echo 9 C12. And it reads, which of the following describes an extended double ZEP antenna? And the proper answer out of the four answers that they give you here is C as in Charlie. Again, please don't use the alpha designators. Don't memorize them anyway. A center-fed 1.25 wavelength antenna. That's 258 waves. In phase. Now, an extended double ZEP, and it's known, its acronym, if you will, is EDZ, Echo Delta Zulu, standing for extended double Zulu, ZEP, excuse me. And it's a single band antenna, as said. It's 1.25 wavelengths long and center fed. So it's 2.58 on both sides, and thus does exhibit the advertised gain of 3 dB. It's a good antenna. Works very well. Any questions on that, please? Over. Okay. Hearing nada. Kathy, since you gave my number, I'm going to give yours. She's coming up with Echo 9 Delta 02. We're breaking the bond that we started here, Kathy. Over.
Okay, I think that's so funny. But before I read my question, I hope that those students listening have had a chance to go in and work on a QRZ or some type of ham test, and so that they're starting to feel a little more comfortable because, Gordon and Mike have said, we have two more classes before the end, and there's a lot of podcasts that we've posted. But now is the time for you to actually get in there and use that knowledge you have. All right, and I'm going to use the saying that everyone always uses, I'm going to buy a nickel. All right, mine is Echo 9 Delta 02, and it reads, how can linearly polarized Yagi antennas be used to produce circular polarization? And the choices you have here are quite lengthy, so I'm just going to give you the correct answer, and that is Charlie. And I've been breaking with my correct answers is Bravo, and this one is Charlie. So it reads, arrange two Yagis perpendicular to each other with the driven elements at the same point on the boom fed 90 degrees out of phase. Now, Gordon tells me this is very common in the television industry. Antennas located high on towers are normally configured in this fashion. Two dipoles per bay, one horizontal, the other vertical, with the horizontal antenna feed 90 degrees out of phase to the other. Now, before I throw it to our class or anyone listening for questions or comments, I'm going to throw it back to you, Gordon, and see if you have anything further you'd like to add to this question.
No, not really. I think you handled it very well, Kathy. It's very simple to do, guys. I think later on, I'm not sure if it's this evening or we get into it maybe early on Tuesday night session, but we'll be talking about quarter waves. But a quarter wave is a grand instrument for impedance matching and phasing, and that's what they're doing here with a circular polarized type situation. They're just throwing a quarter wave in on one of the antennas. It could be the vertical or the horizontal, but if you have more than one, you know, you keep it where you started. Vertical to vertical, horizontal to horizontal, whatever. And that baby, you just start swinging around in a circle. Any questions on that one, please? KY6V with K6SUN.
N2CHI with a question.
Yes, sir, Mr. David. Go right for it. Dave, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong window here. I was wondering if the two antennas could be in the same plane, one above the other on a mast, or would that not accomplish circular polarization? And the second question, or maybe it should be the first, is why would I want circular polarization? Thanks.
Well, there's a couple of answers to the why, Dave. In the television business, as an example, and I spent a bunch of time in that, we were feeding signals to our customers that could be vertical, they could be horizontal, or they could be somewhere in the middle. You know, the old rabbit ear days, where a lot of people had the movable ears on top of their television. That was one reason. You will find that if you get into the moonshot business, bouncing a signal off the moon and coming back, EME type stuff, your polarization is going to change, and therefore the circularly polarized antenna is beneficial to give you maximum for your money. Stacking, I would think that you could do that. You've got a couple of things in consideration. You know, how far are they stacked apart? Is it going to be a half wave? Is it going to be a quarter wave? Are you going to get more gain out of it? Normally, it's been my experience that the two dipoles are fairly close, center to center. And then you put another set of horizontal and vertical up the mast to give you the more gain that you want. I think you could probably get away with it, but I've never tried it and have never had the experience, Dave. Over.
Okay, thanks. I was just wondering about that. I was trying to visualize it. Interesting what you said about a moonshot. I can see where that would be beneficial to have circular polarization for that. Most short wave comes in kind of a different, it's different phases, not polarization. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Any other questions out there? Okay, let me see, where are we here? Kathy, I guess I'm up with Echo 9 Delta 05, if I'm reading this correctly. Echo 9, Delta 05. Question reads, what is the disadvantage of using a multiband trapped antenna? And the proper answer to this out of the four that they give you is the first one right out of the chute. A as in alpha, and it says it might radiate harmonics. It will radiate harmonics if your final is putting out harmonics. So the might, I guess, is okay. Now, this question sort of speaks for itself, but it's interesting to think about how our amateur bands are allocated. You will notice that in most cases, the bands are located within reach of the second harmonic above the band that you are using. Now think about these examples. 3.6 megahertz on the 75 meter band, 80 meter band, has a second harmonic that comes out at 7.2 megahertz, which is dead center of the phone band in the 40 meter band. And if you took 7.1 in the 40-meter band, its third harmonic, or second harmonic, excuse me, would come out at 14.2, right in the voice portion of the 20-meter band, and so goes the fun and the folly. So, any questions on harmonics and multiband antennas? Over.
CDQ, you just solved the mystery to me as to why the bands start where they do. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah, you know, and then the World Conference came along and stuck in 10 meters and 12 and all of that kind of stuff, and so it doesn't hold true across the whole band. Thank you for that, Mike. Let's see. Kathy, you're up next. I won't spill the beans. You give them your number. KY6V, over.
Well, thank you, KY6V, and I'll be very happy to give them my number along with the answer, and once again, a short explanation. So my question is Echo 9 Delta 11, and it reads, which of the following types of conductors would be best for minimizing losses in a station's RF ground system? And here again, your correct answer is Bravo. I like Bravo this evening. And the correct answer is a wide, flat copper strap. You know, remember here that RF has a tendency to flow at the outside surface of a conductor. So with that, any questions, any comments? And if there are none, Gordon, you can just go ahead and take your next question. But you know what? I think we're moving out of D into E. So any questions, any comments?
Okay, I'll grab it here, Kathy. You know, I just looked at my next question, and that's B as in Bravo, too. Boy, we've got a lot of B's here tonight, don't we? Don't put your hat on it, guys and gals. It may not turn out that way and probably won't when you take your exam. Echo 9, EO1. Echo 9, Echo 01 reads, what system matches a higher impedance transmission line to a lower impedance antenna by connecting the line to the driven element in two places spaced a fraction of a wavelength each side of the element center? Do I need to read that again? They're asking what kind of a matching system are you going to use on an antenna where you spread out the feed line. The proper answer is B as in Bravo. Boy, here we go with B's tonight. The delta matching system. Now look, you got deltas and you got gammas and you got stub matching and you've got hairpin matching, and it'll just drive you absolutely nuts. So maybe just memorize this question and to remember this question by thinking about a closed V, a delta. Think about the letter V in the alphabet and consider the line across the top of the V to be the antenna. So when you see something like that, you know that it is a delta match. Any questions, please? KY6V.
CDQ, thank you for the explanation on that, because I think I had to memorize that one, too. That question kind of gets you a little blurry in the brain when you first look at it. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you get into these matching things, it's almost as overbearing as talking about the different names of oscillators, you know, Colpitts and Pierce and so on and so forth, and they've got the gamma and the deltas and the stubs and blah, 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 blah. Just keeps you going. Kathy Echo 9 Echo 07, with your permission, over.
This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, and you spilled the beans on this one, but that's fine. Echo 9 Echo 07. And once again, you know, the answer is going to be Bravo. And, you know, Bravo B is actually, in school, is a very good grade. So here's how mine reads. What term best describes the interactions at the load end of a mismatch transmission line? Your choices are characteristic impedance, reflection coefficient, velocity factor, or dielectric constant. And once again, your choice, your correct answer is Bravo, the reflection coefficient. Now, you know, when the reflection coefficient is high, your standing wave is high, and you're losing power to the antenna because of the mismatch. You know, this question, Gordon, is my last question for the evening, so I want to just thank everyone for joining us this evening, and hopefully I'll see you on Tuesday, God willing, if I make it through those children in the next couple of days. So with that, are there any questions or any comments before I throw it over to Gordon for his final question of the evening? All right, hearing nothing, Gordon, you can go ahead and complete our session for the evening with the final question. And I'll see you again, along with everyone else, on Tuesday evening. KY6V, that question is now yours.
Well, I certainly hope I'm going to see you before Tuesday night. Thank you, Miss Kathy. My last question here, guys and gals, Echo 9, Echo 08, E9, E08, and it reads, which of the following measurements is characteristic of a mismatched transmission line? And out of the four answers, we are now getting away from B as printed in the question pool. It's D as in David. And it reads an SWR greater than 1:1. Now, I'd like to say that in most cases, an SWR of 1.5:1 is considered usable. The difference between 1.1 and 1.5 is hardly noticeable. And I can tell you the commercial boys out there that are putting antennas on cars for commercial mobile installations and that kind of stuff, if they're at 1.5:1, they leave it right there. Any questions, please? KY6V. Okay. Mr. Kansas, it's coming in your direction. Put the wrap on it. We'll see everybody Tuesday night, and we'll have a party or something. KD0CDQ, KY6V with K6SUN. Over.
This is KD0CDQ in sunny Olathe, Kansas. Maybe we should all buy the same snack so we all can sit here and munch together the same thing on Tuesday evening. I don't know what to say. Yes, on Tuesday evening, we'll be in the last group. Now, here's the group of questions we will be in on Tuesday evening, which is August 16th. It'll be Echo 9, Foxtrot 01, through Echo 0, Alpha 11. So that'll be the group of the questions, the last group going through there. And as you remember, I would really be hitting those QRZ.com Q&As, because you probably have a good shot at it now. We've been over quite a few of these questions. You've had a chance to look at them. Don't let your peak pass, so I put it that way. When you feel that you have this down to where you may be getting 80%, say, on the Q&As, don't let it pass. Plan on going down to a testing center and taking a test. before it fades, just like a candle. A candle is nice and bright, but if you let it burn too long, it's going to go out. Once you get into studying these Q&As and you start getting a handle on them, take advantage of it. Go take the test. Hey, it's just a shot. It's just the cost of a meal, say. That's all it costs, about $14, $15 maybe. And you may pass, and that's finished. Because I look at some of these Q&As, and I have forgotten some of these, especially tonight. I have forgotten some of these, and I'm thinking, boy, I wouldn't want to sit for that extra exam again. So we all need to spruce up a little bit if we want to take these tests. And you should be ready, letting it drop. Yeah, there's a time to study and there's a time to do. And soon you come into the time to do. But by taking those practice exams over and over again, you'll get a handle of what you know. And you'll get to know what you don't know. I think on that test, it shows you the areas that you missed. I know there was one of the testing sites where it shows you which grouping that you're having trouble with, you know, whether it's the nines or the sevens or the threes, whatever area, it shows you the ones that you're having trouble. I don't remember which test that was, but I like that one because it helped me concentrate on a certain area, because we mentally may not realize there's a certain area that's not sinking in. And I would try to highlight that. So if you notice you're missing a certain category of questions, look at those again. There's something about them that's throwing you a little bit. So get ready for those tests. That's what this is all about, to get that extra exam behind you. Nice thing about this, you don't need to take it again once you pass it. Okay, any questions before we shut down the recorders? Are there any questions on this? We're going to ask, anybody has a question or a comment, please give it now. We'll stand by. KD0CDQ. This is KD0CDQ back again. I like Kathy, work in the school system, and our students started last Thursday. So Thursday and Friday, we got them nice and confused. So Monday, they can come in totally confused. Thursday, we gave them a form that had to be filled out by their mom, you know, and all that stuff, and bring it back on Friday. We have one kid brought it back. We had like 37 kids in this one group, and one remembered to get the mom's signature and bring a $5 bill with them. So sometimes you can preach to an audience that's looking right at you and listening to you, and they don't hear a word you say. So Kathy, I know what Kathy means when she goes back Monday. All those faces, they look like they're listening. They look like they're really working, but it's just nothing behind the face. So Kathy's starting Monday with that. That's always fun. The kids go blank over the summer, it seems. Okay, if we may, we all should go quiet for a moment so Gordon and I can turn off these recordings. So Gordon is going to turn off the recordings, and so will I. And we need to be quiet during that period. So let's all be quiet right now. KD0CDQ.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. You know, the teachers on this end have been back for a few days now getting ready for the kids, and the kids for Kathy and her schools are coming in tomorrow with those blank faces that you're talking about. Okay, everybody stand by for just a secundo while we close the recordings out, please. This is KY6V.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another an hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.